are Locked On Diamondbacks, your daily Arizona Diamondbacks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, here part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Listening to who? Always wonderful host of this podcast, Miller Thomas. I'm a multimedia journalist and I'm a graphic designer now for the Arizona Coyotes. So please go check out my website, MillerThomas24.myportfolio.com. On there, you can see all my latest work, from my packages to my articles to my photos and my graphic design. For today's show, we're going to do a little post-game pod recap, which we don't normally do. So coming at you hot right after the game ended, D-backs lose on a walk-off. So we'll start off the pod by talking about that game. Then in segment number two today, I want to approach the subject of, should the D-backs consider going with a six-man rotation? We'll talk about that. Then we'll wrap up the pod by previewing this weekend's games. Luke Weaver on the mound tomorrow, and then Madison Bumgarner sadly on the mound Sunday against Steven Strasburg of all people. So we'll talk about all that on today's pod. But first, I want to talk to you about Locker Room, because this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me this week, this Saturday. So tomorrow, to get in on the action, I'm going to be going live after the D-backs take down the Nats. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Now, let's jump right into it. Let's talk about today's D-backs game. And before we talk about how they lost on a walk-off, let's first talk about the man who was starting for the D-backs today. And that is Taylor Widener, because he continues to crush for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Taylor Widener has been a godsend for this team. In this game, he went six innings, only four hits allowed, two walks, three strikeouts. His ERA on the season is now a 1.59, so it's lowered after this game. He threw 94 pitches, 64 strikes, and it was just basically what we've seen so far from Taylor Widener. Very controlled effort, very good command. He's not out there overpowering. He's not overpowering guys with anything phenomenal stuff. It's not like he's a Max Scherzer in his prime or like a Chris Sale with a nasty slider. He's not throwing 99 out there and just gunning it by dudes. He's just going with his fastball, which is his primary pitch. He likes to throw that a lot. In today's game, he threw his fastball 62% of the time. 58 of his 94 pitches was fastball, so probably a little bit lower than maybe what he normally does. I feel like he's normally around 65%. I would have to double check that, but he's a big fastball guy with a changeup and then a slider. So very nice a classic three pitch arsenal. He's not trying to fool hitters, but he does a great job of keeping them off balance. And unlike other D-backs pitchers, he has great, when it comes to the variety in his velocity of his pitches, he can mix it up in terms of, you know, bringing the heat. He can raise the heat on like a Bumgarner or Merrill Kelly. He can raise the heat. He's sitting at around 93. That's what he sat at today, 93 miles per hour. But he was able to get as high as 96.7, around 97 miles per hour. So he can bring the heat if he needs to. But he's got a changeup that sits at 86.7. So he could hit you with that 97 mile an hour fastball and then come back with a changeup around 86 and a slider around the same thing as well. And for Taylor Widener, he's just a guy that attacks the strike zone. He's a guy who I said is not trying to fool anyone, just trying to keep the hitters off balance. And he does a great job of mixing his pitches up, mostly fastballs again, but between the changeup and the slider, you really don't know which one of those is coming. He definitely throws the changeup a lot more than the slider, but still, it's a great three-pitch arsenal for him, and he always looks comfortable up there on the mound. He doesn't get into too much trouble. He's not throwing erratic pitches. He's able to locate pretty effectively and consistently. If Caleb Smith had a stat line like this, you would have to watch the game to realize, man, so many of his pitches were just thrown 3 feet off the plate, but Taylor Widener, maybe every now and then he has a wild pitch where, you know, it's not the location you want to, but most of the time he has pretty good command of his pitches and he knows where they're going to go. He's not erratic out here. He's not going to hit the batters in the batting box. So I've been pretty impressed with Taylor Widener because this is not a guy who I had high hopes for, honestly, entering the season. I thought Taylor Widener was just going to be some throwaway name who made a couple of starts for the D-backs, get crushed, and then they sent him to the alternate site or to the bullpen. I didn't expect him to be a legit starter for this D-backs team because right now, I think he's the best starter in this rotation. Three consecutive starts of three earned runs or fewer, doing his best Zach Gallen impression. So I've been impressed with Taylor Widener so far to start the season, and he had another great outing today, so I'm glad the D-backs are keeping him around in the starting rotation. Kevin Ginkle came in today. He pitched one inning, perfect inning, no walks, no hits, no strikeouts either, but no earned runs allowed, which you like to see. Kevin Ginkle has been a little bit up and down, but I think he's been pretty solid this year. We just can't overwork Kevin Ginkle. I think that's when he gets in trouble. But Alex Young, he was able to make it through the eighth inning, but the ninth inning is when he gave up that home run to Kyle Schwarber. And it was something that, of course, I didn't expect Alex Young to give up a home run, but I'm not surprised that it did because Alex Young has not been very good this season. Alex Young came into the game with a 4.5 ERA. He leaves the game with an ERA of 5.06 and only, wow, how many innings pitched? 5.1 innings pitched now. He's given up three earned runs on the year. I don't think he's looked that effective on the mound. He's been getting hit hard because when you look at the Statcast, his fastball has been hit at an average of with an average exit velocity of 93 miles an hour, sinker 97 miles per hour, changeup 87.8, and then the cutter 99 miles per hour. So this dude gets hit hard, specifically his fastball. Players have just been teeing up against Alex Young's fastball this season. He hasn't thrown it a lot to right-handed batters, surprisingly, but against left-handed batters, he really likes to throw the fastball, and it hasn't worked out for Taylor Widener this season. I don't know why he throws it so much to left-handed batters, but so far on the year, it has not worked out for Taylor Widener. When he has thrown his fastball, he has an expected slugging of 705 when he throws his fastball, and his cutter is in the same ballpark because that has expected slugging of 1401. So fastball, cutter, his hard stuff gets hit hard, gets absolutely crushed. Again, 93 mile per hour exit velocity on the fastball, 99 on the cutter. And today, the hardest hit pitch of the game was that home run by Kyle Schwarber, a walk-off home run by the Nats. So good for them, I guess. That's always fun to see. But that was 111.9 miles per hour off the bat. Hardest hit ball of the day that went for a home run. Taylor Widener, there was only five pitches on the day that an average exit velocity of 100 miles per hour or more when they were put in play. Taylor Widener was only responsible for one of them. So he was not giving up hard contact today, unlike Alex Young. But unfortunately, the offense could not come through for Taylor Widener. Max Scherzer, former D-back, was in his bag today. Seven innings, two hits, 10 strikeouts, only two walks. I said yesterday, this is not prime Max Scherzer. He was a little bit more vulnerable than normal, but I guess that wasn't true because he absolutely shut down this D-backs lineup. Only three hits today for the D-backs. Tim LaCastro, Cole Calhoun, and Nick Ahmed, who came in to pinch hit for David Peralta, each picked up one base hit apiece. So offense wasn't good, but it was basically a pitching duel. And listen, if you told me at the beginning of the season Taylor Widener was going to go pitch for pitch against Max Scherzer, I would have signed up for that every day of the week. Taylor Widener is way better than anything I could have expected from him. Honestly, he's blown away my expectations this season. He had another great performance today, went toe-to-toe with Max Scherzer. So I'm very proud of Taylor Widener. I want to see what he can continue to do, honestly, because if you can do this over the course of a full season, the D-backs might have a real starter for the future. And he was a guy who, of course, wasn't on my radar to start the year. But now I'm keeping a close eye on Taylor Widener because I want to see how long he can keep this up for. And I want to see if he's a real building block for the future for the Arizona Diamondbacks, because we all know how desperate they are for starting pitching. Now we'll get into whether the D-backs should actually think about a six-man rotation. But first, I want to talk to you about Blue Nile, because this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each designed and produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search for the words 10 by 10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. I'm not a big baller by any sense of the word, but Blue Nile is right there at my price range if I want to get my mother something special, because we know Mother's Day is around the corner. Now, if you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Let's get back into it and let's discuss if the D-backs should go with a six-man rotation, because I know it probably sounds crazy on the forefront. Who wants to see a six-man rotation? Baseball, we all know baseball is about tradition, and so many fans can't give that up. You don't even have to be an older white guy to stick to your traditions, because most baseball fans are deeply rooted in their traditions. Guess what? There's a lot of people in the Locked On group chat in our Locked On podcast network in the MLB network who is under 30 or in their mid 30s, and a lot of them, the National League hosts, weren't pro DH before the 2020 season. A lot of them were pro pitcher, and then once they actually saw the DH, they were like, wow, this is actually better than not having a pitcher just go up there and strike out. And now they want a universal DH. And so baseball fans of all ages, all races, like to be stuck in their ways. But guess what? I'm not that way. I'm a new school guy, and I'm trying to speed up the game. I'm trying to get more runs on the board. I'm for doing anything that evolves the baseball game. I love how baseball does all these wacky things in the minors to see what works and what doesn't. Hey, move the mound back, raise it, do whatever you need to if you think it's going to increase runs. I don't want to see the baseball deadened. Let's stop that. Let's get the universal DH in. Let's bring in electronic umps for the strike zone. I'm for anything that's pro runs and pro speeding up the game and pro getting things right. But the new thing that I want the D-backs to get in on, which is not necessarily that new, which has been around, but not really any teams like to do it. Currently, there's only one baseball team, I believe, doing this in baseball. I know they are for sure doing this right now. I don't know if they're the only team doing this, but a six-man rotation, that is what the Seattle Mariners is doing right now. And so far, the early returns on the season have been pretty pleasant. They're 8-5 on the season, first place in the AL West. So I guess the six-man rotation is working for the Mariners, and the D-backs and a lot of other teams have put their pitchers on a innings limit this season, or at least, they want to monitor their pitchers. They're not going to go out there and just force them to throw a lot of innings. They're not going to just keep them out there for no apparent reason. Even if they're having a good start, they might take them out after five innings just to rest them and not overwork them. We saw Blake Snell recently get pulled in the first inning because he got some trouble early, and the Padres were like, no, you don't look good today, we're taking you out immediately. And so a lot of teams around baseball are being more cautious with their pitchers than usual this season because of how little they pitch in the 2020 year. They don't want to just go from 50 innings pitch, or however many they had in 2022, 180 to 200 this season. They'd rather keep them around that 140 to 165 mark if they can. And I think for the D-backs, a six-man rotation would be the best thing they could do for the team in terms of competitiveness. I don't even think about the benefit of, you know, the lessened workload and the extra rest day. I'm thinking about this from a competitive standpoint because guess what? If you have an extra day where you don't have to see Madison Bumgarner and can throw someone else in that spot, I think that's a win for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And right now, we all know how bad Madison Bumgarner has been this season. He's been absolutely atrocious. And so for the D-backs, I think competitively, it would be a very smart move because we already see how effective Taylor Widener is. I mean, just look at him today. Was the beast out there on the mound, and he's not even doing, as we say, with overpowering stuff. He's just being a really smart and effective pitcher and locating. Luke Weaver, we'll see how he pitches tomorrow, but if he has another good start following up his last start, then I'm back in on the Luke Weaver train, and I'm already halfway in, dipping my toes in the water, so I'm ready to just dive right into the Luke Weaver swimming pool. I don't know how that sounded, if it sounded weird or not. A guy like Zach Allen, of course, he's a potential Cy Young candidate when he's healthy, a real Cy Young caliber pitcher, a real ace of a staff. So that's right now three pitchers. And then Merrill Kelly hasn't been good on the season so far. So it would also be an extra day where you don't have to throw Merrill Kelly out there, at least for right now, until he starts to come back around, build his confidence, and get his production back up, because Merrill Kelly has not been the same guy he was last year, not even the same guy we saw in 2019 where he had an ERA around 4-4. But Riley Smith, don't forget about him. He had a good start in his major league starting debut. Went, 5 2/3? I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but he went like 5 2/3 and allowed 3 earned runs or less. So it was a quality start for Riley Smith, and he had a pretty long relief start out the bullpen earlier in the year against the San Diego Padres. So I think the D-backs have a solid four-man rotation when you think of Gallen, Weaver, Widener, and Riley Smith. And then you make a six-man rotation with Bumgarner and Merrill Kelly, so you don't have to see them as often as you normally would. And it would still help your pitchers out, like a Zach Gallen, who's working his way back from injury, who you don't want to put a lot of innings on his arm this season anyway. You guys were already talking about having an innings limit on Zach Gallen before the season even started, before you even knew he had an injury. So I think it would help him out even more. And the numbers do suggest that the D-backs are better the more rest they have. If you look at the 2020 splits for the D-backs, when they only had 4 days of rest, their ERA starting that day was not good. A 5.95 ERA on only 4 days. Opponent batting average of 278 with an OPS of 889. But when those starters had 5 days of rest, 4.19 ERA, opponent batting average of 232, and an OPS against of 712. On 6 days of rest, 4.24 ERA, so slightly higher, but not much. Opponent batting average of 229, so that goes down slightly, and OPS of 733, so they were pretty much the same of 5 days and 6 days. But 4 days, which they did the most, they were the worst versions of themselves. And their strikeouts per nine on 5 days of rest was 8.8, but on 6 days of rest, 10 flat. So their arms were way more lively when they got 6 days of rest. They were better at striking out dudes. For this D-backs rotation, I think it's the smartest thing to do. Really space out those starts for Madison Bumgarner. Get a little bit more Riley Smith. Get a little bit more Taylor Widener in the mix. You get to save the innings on Zach Gallen. So I think it's a win-win for everyone from a health standpoint, from a competitive standpoint. I think the six-man rotation is the way to go for the Arizona Diamondbacks in the 2021 season. Now, we'll preview Luke Weaver, Madison Bumgarner's start on Saturday and Sunday, so over the weekend. And there was some interesting news that Arizona Sports wrote about Madison Bumgarner. It wasn't like breaking news, but just kind of his overall approach to the game going forward. So we're going to be discussing that article as well. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar, because Built Bar is back. And they're more improved and more delicious than ever before. They have 18 amazing flavors, but 6 new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're both soft and easy to chew. The reason why I love Built Bars is because they're great for the health conscious guy like me. I have a sweet tooth, but I try to go to the gym too. So what do? I eat a Built Bar because it tricks me. I think that I'm eating a candy bar when in reality, I'm actually eating a protein bar that's low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. So it's great for that keto diet. If you go to BuiltBar.com, right now they reset their promo code for this relaunch. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you could get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. All right. Let's get back into it and let's discuss the games over the weekend because the D-backs tomorrow, they're going to play early in Arizona. I believe it's 10 or 11. I think it's a 10 a.m. start time. So it's pretty early for me. But remember, guys, we're going live on Locker Room after the game. So don't forget to follow me on Locker Room at Miller Thomas on the Locker Room app. Follow me so you can get the notification when I go live. And if you also want the notification, I'm probably going to be tweeting it out. So follow me on my personal account at CreatorThomas24 and follow the podcast handle at LockedOnDimebacks on both Twitter and Instagram. So for the Saturday game, we got Luke Weaver on the mound going against Eric Fede. And for Luke Weaver, coming off that incredible start against the Cincinnati Reds, the Reds were red hot against the D-backs, but they were just red hot against baseball with one of the best, arguably the best offense as they were facing the D-backs. But Luke Weaver surely cooled them off. And in that game, he used a lot of fastballs. He was fastball changeup heavy in that game. And he was unhittable for a lot of the game. He had one of his best starts, not even exaggerated, his best start since 2019. The last time he went seven innings was May of 2019. Didn't have one start where he even completed six innings in 2020. So he went seven innings in his last start. He carried a perfect game into the sixth and a no-hitter into the seventh before giving up one hit against the Cincinnati Reds. Still had a seven shutout innings though. So it was a phenomenal Luke Weaver start. Fastball velocity was looking great, sitting in the mid 90s, around 94, 95 on the day. And he was ratcheted up with the fastball, then slowing it down with the changeup. Really was going heavy with a two pitch arsenal. He wasn't even trying to fool people really with a breaking pitch. He's like, I'm just going to go in there, fastball, changeup, and just destroy these hitters and just pound the strike zone. And that's what he did in his last game, racking up the strikeouts. Just looked great and in command. It was the first time in a while where I was like, man, Luke Weaver looks confident on that mound. He looks like he's in command. He's locating his pitches. He's not giving up home runs, thankfully and finally. Because we know home runs have been a problem for Luke Weaver in spring training. He gave up a lot of them in his first start against the Colorado Rockies this season. He gave up three solo bombs. So I was like, this man is back to the 2020 levels, just giving up home runs left and right. But he went deep into the ballgame that first start against the Rockies. He still went six innings, I believe. And then going seven innings against the Reds, and now he's getting a Nationals team who still has a worse record than the D-backs, only 4-7 on the year. And Eric Fede, he's not anyone to really be scared of. 0-1 on the season with 8.53 ERA, only six strikeouts. He's right now in the rotation because John Lester isn't back yet for the Nationals. third star of the year. In his last start against the Cardinals, allowed one run on two hits, two walks over four and two thirds innings. So we'll see what he has to offer, but I'm definitely excited for Luke Weaver. I'm definitely excited to see his back dealing, and I want to see if he can keep this up. But one guy who I'm confident can keep up his streak of just being awful, and I'm sorry for always disparaging him on the pod, but when you're the highest paid player on the team and you literally can't give the D-backs a quality start, I'm just going to have to rip you every time I get on the mic, because Madison Bumgarner has been a big time struggle for the D-backs. If they could take back that contract, I know Mike Hazen would. If he had a magic genie, that would be his first wish, because that contract has been awful. He's still trying to figure things out. A 7.64 ERA in his 12 starts since joining the D-backs last year. And last time out, he allowed six earned runs over four and two-thirds innings to the Oakland A's. And right now, the D-backs are trying to simplify their approach with Madison Bumgarner. This is what Kellen Olson wrote of Arizona Sports. He wrote an article about it, because Bumgarner on the year allowed 22 hits, 8 walks over 13.2 innings, 17 earned runs, and his ERA is at 11.2 right now. I think MLB Network had a stat saying he has the highest ERA of any starter who's thrown at least 50 innings pitched since 2020. He's been literally the worst starter in baseball since the start of the 2020 season. Right now, the D-backs are just trying to take less off his plate. Right now, when it comes, we all know about advanced analytics and scouting reports nowadays with these players, but right now, the D-backs are trying to take that away from Madison Bumgarner. They're just trying to tell him to go out there and pitch, trying to keep it simple. Right now, the main word, the key word you have to watch out for is execution, because that's what the message is right now to Madison Bumgarner. It's all about execution. They're not trying to put a lot on his plate. They don't even want him to worry about these scouting reports. They're saying, we don't even want you to care if it's a righty or lefty at the plate. We just want you to go out there and pitch and just go with what you feel and what's working for him. If he's in a nice flow with his fastball cutter, just keep going to it. Keep mixing in your pitches. Keep switching things up. Keep keeping these batters off balance. They don't want Madison Bumgarner to be overthinking things. They think maybe possibly his struggles could be linked to him overthinking on the mound, because right now you can't help but think from a fan's perspective. If every time you go out there on the mound, you know you're going to give up six earned runs, and every time you go out there on the mound, you suck, that starts to creep into the back of your mind. If you're Madison Bumgarner, he's probably thinking about that. I got this fat contract from the D-backs. I left, you know, a team that won a couple World Series on, three World Series on, a World Series MVP on, and all of a sudden, I come into my rival city, I come to my rival team, I take a fat contract, and now all of a sudden I'm only 30 years old and I cannot even give up less than four earned runs if my life depended on it. I cannot go six innings pitch with three earned runs or fewer if my life depended on it. And that has to be scary for a guy who was as good as Madison Bumgarner, who's never a true Cy Young candidate, but he was an ace of a staff. He was a workhorse. And right now, he's neither of those things. He's neither an ace or a workhorse. And if we're being honest, if he was making as much money as any other pitcher in this rotation, if he was on a contract only paying him $7 million a year, he wouldn't be in this rotation. If he had Caleb Smith's contract, he wouldn't be in this rotation. The only reason he is because of the contract and because he does have a pedigree of being a World Series champion. But nothing that he's shown you in any start with the D-backs in his tenure can give you confidence that he can bounce back and go back to, you know, that pre-Bumgarner in San Fran form, because he's been absolutely awful in every start he's ever had for the D-backs. He had a couple of nice starts to end the 2020 season, but they still weren't even considered quality starts. So I have no hope against Strasburg as well. It's going to have to be a pitcher's duel, and I have no hope. The only thing I have hope for when it comes to Madison Bumgarner is I have hope. I don't even know it's hope. It's a belief that he will give up at least five earned runs in that start on Sunday, because that's what Madison Bumgarner does. If he goes out there, pitches six innings, gives up three earned runs or less, I will I will do something. Someone send me a tweet or a DM of what I should do. Madison Bumgarner has a quality start against the Nationals, because I don't believe he will. And maybe we should just keep a tracker on this pod, a weekly tracker for every time Bumgarner starts, if he does, if he has a quality start or not, because I want to do something if he does have a quality start. I don't know if it's run around with my shirt off, something wild. We'll have to think about that. Send me suggestions on Twitter, but we have to do something if he ever throws a quality start, because right now the question is, will he ever throw a quality start in his Diamondbacks career? He might retire before it ever happens, or be moved to the bullpen. So I'm always curious whenever Bumgarner's on the mound, because he is fun to watch. It's watching a train wreck. So I'm going to be enjoying watching Madison Bumgarner on the mound, but won't be because of how good he is as a pitcher. It's going to be because it's always fun to watch a train wreck out there on the mound. Now, that's it for this edition of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. So remember, be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data, nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app wherever you get your podcasts. That's it for this edition of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. Go back, listen to any pods you might have missed this week. We'll be back next week with more Diamondbacks news, coverage, and insight. Going live on Locker Room tomorrow, so follow me at Miller Thomas on the Locker Room app. And we'll see you guys next week. Deuces!